This episode of the Friday Fix is brought to you by The Great Courses Plus. It's like The Great Courses, except it's a video learning service with unlimited access to a huge library of The Great Courses lecture series in all kinds of fascinating subjects like history, cooking, art. Equifax, what's your favorite subject?
Science.
Probably. Science. They have lots and lots of science. And you can try The Great Courses Plus awesomeness. Check it out for yourself because you can watch The Fundamentals of Photography absolutely free. The Fundamentals of Photography is filmed in partnership with the National Geographic Society and taught by professional photographer Joel Sartori. We have already watched this course. We enjoy it. It's why my pictures look so snazzy. It's why they look so darn good these days. And for a limited time, The Great Courses Plus is offering y'all a chance to stream this course, The Fundamentals of Photography, a $235 value, and hundreds of other courses for free. But this free offer is only available for a limited time, so hurry up. Go to thegreatcoursesplus.com/Sigler. That's thegreatcoursesplus.com/Sigler. And now on with our Friday Fix.
Welcome to the Friday Fix, where we give you news, reviews, and interviews from the world of Siglerism. That extra hit to string you out until Sunday's story. And now here's your host, Empty Set Entertainment's director of doom, a real girl herself, A. Kovacs.
Hey, junkies, this is A Real Girl. I'm in the office today with Mr. Scott Sigler. Say hello, Scott Sigler.
Hello. I would like everyone to know I just had a sip of coffee and I did not slurp.
You did not slurp. Good for you.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Good for us.
Trying to be better. Trying to be a better man.
Yeah. I get it. So we are here today to talk about, there's just one tiny bit of football left for the season.
Yes. And then we go into the great dusty gray void of sport. If you don't like baseball, there's nothing much for you. Basketball is going to finish up, and then it's the ghost town, dust bowl, whirlwinds, tumbleweeds. There's nothing in the world of sport to watch, but we still have this one last thing. I think we're going to talk about Super Bowl commercials.
We sure are.
Yes.
Yeah. I also want to mention, just for the record, in case anybody's paying attention, my Jets are currently undefeated.
My Lions are undefeated. What a coincidence.
Congratulations,
the
sir.
The Browns are undefeated, for crying out loud.
Yes.
Everybody, the optimism is already creeping back in. So all the people who spent the football season cursing at your television, throwing things, breaking furniture, spitting on yourself, which happens a lot, all of a sudden, we are reborn. The Phoenix rises from the ashes and we flutter toward the sky, knowing that all things are possible.
I'm not really sure what's happening.
That's what it feels like when the Super Bowl is over, and now you think your team's actually gonna, you know, have a shot at making something happen.
All right. Okay. All right. So we're gonna talk about the Super Bowl commercials,
and we need to because we are giving away the Peter Klein's books.
You mean we're announcing the winner?
Yes. Correct. We are announcing the winner of our Lil contest, Lil contest, to give away Peter Klein's X-Heroes series with his new book, Exile, that just came out. 5-book trade paperback, snazzy. I've had it sit on my desk and I've been dying to read it, but we got these to give away, so we did not read them yet.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you want to do that first? Do you want to do that a little in? How do you want to do that, sir?
Let's do it a little bit in. We're going to tease people. It's not going to be a very long podcast, so we're going to tease you a little bit to see if you won the Friday Fix, because I'm evil like that. It's how I do.
Oh, yeah. Also, it might be long if you keep going off onto tangents like you just did.
Fluttering up into the stratosphere!
But let's try not to do very much about
okay,
it.
Okay, here we go.
So, as happens every year, there were some great ones, there were some confusing ones, mm-hmm. there were some everybody has a different opinion, of course, mm-hmm. But we figured we would talk a little bit about it because we talk a lot about advertising here at Empty Set, and we do advertising,
yes.
and, you know, all that stuff. So
yes.
one of the things that's super effective, or one of the marks of a super effective advertisement is one that sticks with you. And there's two sides to that. It needs to stick with you, and you need to remember what it was advertising.
I am now going to use the word advertisement for the rest of this podcast. I didn't know that we were horribly British. I loved the advertisements from The Big Game. They were fabulous.
What is with you today? Is it because it's Friday? Is it because you're excited?
Yes. How are we going to do this, ma'am? How do we break this down?
So I will say this. Mm-hmm. I would like you to tell me what the most memorable part of any commercial you saw was?
The most memorable part of the, like, my favorite commercial or the products or what?
I mean, most memorable. I'm going to guess that most people have one most memorable moment from the podcast or from the Super Bowl commercial.
I would say my single most memorable moment from the commercials is when the Dorito slipped out of the guy's hand and they all looked, there was that comedic beat where they all realized, yep, the baby's coming. And then the baby was coming. I thought that was that stuck immediately.
So I think that's a rarity, because I think most people from this year would say, if I said, tell me what you first thought that comes to your mind about the Super Bowl commercial, they'd say puppy monkey baby.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, you're blocking it out of your mind because it was so crazy. Now, here's the thing. Super memorable, stuck in your craw, definitely there. What was it advertising?
I think it was advertising a flavor of Mountain Dew, maybe, or all the dews.
It was advertising Mountain Dew, a specific Mountain Dew.
It was a terrible commercial.
Well, this is the question, though. Is it a terrible commercial, or was it not your favorite commercial, but super effective? Because here we are a week later, you remember what it's for.
I'll tell you why. Because it's not just being memorable and getting your brand across. It's also product association. And now I will probably forever associate Mountain Dew, which is already neon yellow and neon greenish, with the puppy monkey baby that was wearing diapers. It's puppy monkey baby pee. Is what's in the bottles now.
Are you saying that had the puppy monkey baby not been wearing a diaper, it wouldn't have been as bad?
Correct.
That's bizarre.
Correct, because it was the diaper imagery. How about you? That was the moment that stood out for you. Puppy monkey baby, puppy monkey baby.
Well, that for me is, if somebody said, what is the one thing you remember about the Super Bowl commercials? If they say that next year, I'll probably say puppy monkey baby.
I do have a legal question, though, which we can't answer here, but I'll throw it out there. It's a commercial. They were advertising it. I'm not sure what the copyright issue is on that. I should be able to write a puppy monkey baby horror novel and put it up on the Kindle store.
Would a puppy monkey baby horror novel just be puppy monkey baby, puppy monkey baby, puppy monkey
baby?
No,
it says that when it's caving in your skull with a rusty hatchet is what that's what it says. That's its only dialogue. But puppy monkey baby was friggin' horrifying. If you saw one of those, you would shat yourself, I swear.
Oh, Lord.
That advertisement made me poo my pants.
Okay.
I now retire to my countryside manor.
I find it fascinating that for one of the very first times in a very long time, we're not drinking alcohol for this Friday Fix. Believe it or not, listeners, believe it or not.
Yes. All right, let's do it. We had a lot of comments, people entering their favorite commercials. It was really fun to see.
So you asked me what my favorite
one was. Oh, that's right.
So I think my favorite commercial was the Christopher Walken one. I do love Christopher Walken. He's so good.
He was so ludicrous.
Yeah. Oh, ludicrous. Absolutely. It was great. But I love that. And I liked the Jeep commercials. I don't think you did, but I did.
I appreciated the Jeep commercials for what they were for. And like I tweeted this to some extent. You guys just showed us a very emotional cascade of images of people you paid to pitch your product and movies in which you paid to have your product put in. It's not exactly capturing the gestalt of the American experience is what they were going for, except for the World War II stuff. Like, I get that.
Right. But. And I actually think that's exactly right. Like, they've been through so much American history. They don't have to create something new for the Super Bowl. They'll just show you 10,000 images that were already out there, folded in with people who are paid to pretend like they drive Jeeps or whatever. I thought it was very pretty.
I will say one thing. Some people were bagging on Walken and Anthony Hopkins and like, oh, look out, well, how terrible, they finally sold out and doing commercials. And you're like, I'm like, they get paid to pretend to be other people their whole career. This is what they do. Here's a script. Act like this. Here's some money. We want you to do the best job you can at this. That's all they've done. So if they want to pitch Quicken Loans, I do not see the problem with that at all. Do you?
No, I mean, I do think that, not that this is going to be an issue in my life, but if there's a moment where I would have to consider whether or not I value the product, I certainly would do that. I find it hard to believe that really people are going to come down. Like, everybody has a Walken impression. Are you kidding me? You're going to give him sass about being him. A different version of himself.
Like, right.
I always think that's disingenuous. I think that, it's sort of akin to when people, when you're out on tour and people say to us or people say to you like, oh, what's going on with the TV stuff? Well, don't let them change anything. You stick to you. Like, really? If they're going to pay us and they're going to get this profile, this brand bigger and open different doors that we literally have been trying to open for, what, 6 years mm-hmm. together? Mm-hmm. They could make Perry Dossi a girl.
They can do anything. They can do anything they want.
But yeah. I don't think, but you know, you as a consumer, you don't have to worry about any of that. And that's, I think, where it comes in that people are like, ah, I don't know, you know. But I kind of think it's disingenuous because, you know, people, that is how our society works. You work, you get paid.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily who you are.
Plus, they were funny. Anthony Hopkins one was freaking, it was hysterical to me. I think what we need to do is go through real quick and look at some of the comments on this before we pick the winner. And we didn't pick the winner. Peter Klein's picked the winner.
Peter Klein picks the winner, yeah.
Peter Piper picked a Klein's winner. Anyways, some of these, like, good comments. Rick Dirks liked the Dorito ultrasound commercial because it was the funniest. Mm-hmm. Somebody going the avocado, Eric Luna went with the avocado commercial. I'm going to poke fun at Lauren because she said, my favorite Super Bowl 50 commercial was Doritos dogs. That was the dog commercial and the Doritos commercial.
Uh-oh.
There wasn't a Doritos dogs commercial.
Well, I'm going to guess there was.
Lauren got to the Super Bowl party a little bit earlier than everybody else. And was experiencing the Budweiser ads in a special way. Dakota says, everybody is busy hating on the Puppy Monkey Baby commercial, but it amuses me into an unhealthy laugh every time I see it. So I'm pretty sure when I write Puppy Monkey Baby, one of the main characters that gets killed by Puppy Monkey Baby will be named Dakota.
Okay.
I think that's fair. But what comments do you see in here that you liked?
I'm not looking at that. Let me call that up. Because we're supposed to be task sharing. That's the part you forgot.
Lots of Doritos ultrasound favorites. The Helen Mirren anti-drunk driving ad was very popular with people. I enjoyed it a lot because Helen Mirren, we seem to be on a theme here, is horribly British. And there she is giving her good message for cause marketing and then knocking back a Budweiser. You could see hipster heads exploding all over the planet. Oh, I hate Budweiser. Oh, wait a minute. I like Mirren. I like Helen Mirren. What do I do? What do I do? They did not like that.
Well, I think what it is they can't sass Helen Mirren.
You can't.
Where they can sass you for drinking Bud Light.
Oh, and Matthew Schnare, he comments on the Love of the Super Bowl Babies commercials, which when they start out, I'm like, oh, those are kind of cute. Those are kind of cute. But then the really big one they did where they showed, you know, now we're like some 18-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 21-year-olds, people older. I thought that was extremely well done. That I know a lot of people were poking. Every stand-up comedian in the world was rushing to Twitter to make a joke about getting drunk on football and banging and that being a poor decision. But it was really, to me, a neat throwback to look at. Here's a cascade of teams that have won. And wow, look how much time, like a whole generation has come up since this Super Bowl and that Super Bowl. Right. I thought it was really neat.
One thing that I think was interesting is they put the Super Bowl babies in gear of the winning team that year.
Yes.
Which doesn't necessarily commute that there. Like the people who made the babies easily could have been rooting for the other team too and just getting to the Super Bowl party a little bit.
I think what they are saying is you get a baby boost in the winning town. I think that's what they're saying, but I'm guessing at that.
Yeah.
The TurboTax commercial with Anthony Hopkins was pretty funny. He wasn't selling anything because it's free, and he called his dog TurboTax.com. I agree, Stephen Taylor. That's a very good point. That was funny.
So I am with, Yosef said he liked the Snickers commercial. I love Willem Dafoe so much.
Oh, yeah.
Such a good commercial. And, you know, like, he's another one where he's this iconic actor. He's but he makes idiosyncratic choices that are always so interesting. One of my favorite movies is The Boondock Saints.
Yep.
And I do it all the time here in the office.
Do it now.
There's this scene where if you're unfamiliar with The Boondock Saints, you should watch it. But there's a scene, The Boondock Saints are sort of vigilantes, and he's the investigator that's coming to try and figure out what has happened at a crime scene. And he kind of does it in this big operatic sweeping thing where he says, there was a firefight. And it's ludicrous.
It's ludicrous.
And crazy. And
it's ludicrous.
And for me, it works. A lot of people don't like the Boondock Saints because it's disjointed in that way. It's sort of operatic sometimes. But I loved it. And I love a lot of his choices. He... He was also in the Keanu Reeves killer movie, John.
Oh, yeah, yeah. John. Gosh darn it. John. Ah, I forget. It'll come to us in a second. But yeah, he did a great job in that, too.
And in all of these, in a lot of these, he's brave in a very
John
subtle
Wick.
Way.
John Wick. Yes. Yeah.
And this was no exception for that. I think that an iconic actor in a very iconic dress, mm-hmm. a male actor in a very iconic dress, those are absolutely Defoe's legs in the beginning. You're like, what is a... I love that. It's simple. It's understated. It was funny. I'm a big fan of that one, too.
Bandit loved the wiener dogs and hot dog costumes running toward the giant Heinz bottles. I love that, too. Although that will be the sequel to Puppy Monkey Baby. It will be a pack of killer wiener dogs. I do have to bring up a point with Scott Max, though, in our comment here at ScottSegler.com.
Okay.
Like, Puppy Monkey Baby Mountain Dew commercial and the Prius commercial are tied for my favorite. Punky Monkey Baby would have been my favorite outright if not for the follow-up where the cops get a Prius of their own. Scott Max, you're wrong. He's wrong. Prius commercial was horrible. I hated it. And he's wrong.
Prius, yeah. Did you like the Kia commercial?
What was the Kia commercial?
Christopher Walken one.
That was a Kia commercial?
Yeah.
No, but I am going to be looking for a pair of those socks. These socks. Yeah, that was... I didn't even know what the hell they were advertising. I might have also been like the people I've commented on a few Bud Lights into the process by that point.
Because you know what I think? I think there is a Doritos dog commercial.
Is there?
Yeah, they're outside the grocery store.
Oh, do I have to apologize?
You do.
Oh, I'm very sorry. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I still think Lauren was probably hitting the bottle a little bit hard. Or I was. But
there was a lot of screaming.
What, for the game? Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, there was quite a lot. People are six ball. I'm a sucker for the animals. The talking bears are amusing. And while there was no donkey in the spot, those sheep sung their asses off.
Okay. Well, good.
They truly did. Yeah. They truly did. But a really big response, mostly, I think, is people want these Peter Klein's books, is what I think.
Maybe.
I mean, people love us and want to be on our site and do comments, but it was all about the Peter Klein's books. So what do we do about that?
Well, I think we let Peter Klein's tell us who won.
Let's do it.
Hi, this is Peter Klein's, author of the X-Hero series and The Fold. And I'm here to announce the winner of Scott Sigler's Dystopic Super Bowls giveaway. Using the old D&D dice as a random number generator gives me a 2 and 7, 27. And that means the winner is, looking through the list of comments, 20 B. Pende, who liked the Helen Mirren Budweiser ad. Congratulations, B. Pende. You get the entire X-Hero series with my scribble in it. Hope you like them.
Yes, I did forget to mention the whole time, these are all autographed by Peter Klein himself.
Very nice.
Not even autographed by me.
Well.
Which I would have done. But
I mean,
he filled in the space.
You could pick a page, write a little autograph.
So that's great. So we have somebody who, now we have, who won it again?
I think it might be Brad. Pende, B. Pende. And he said, Helen Mirren Budweiser, she's just so damn classy. Which turns out to also be true of Peter Klein's.
Yeah, he's a very classy guy. Very classy guy. Well, what else is there to say about the Super Bowl commercials in our short little Friday fix?
I think the reason that we were, because we've been chatting about it for a few days, we decided we would talk about it with you guys, is it's an interesting thing for us because we are always trying to balance content and advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's lots and lots of, everybody's been to websites that have pop-ups and have all this other stuff, and they spam you with ads and everything else. And we try real hard to make enough money with our advertising so that we can keep the podcast going for free, which has been done for a decade,
mm-hmm.
And be subtle about it. And we do have the audio intro as we did in this one. We have a footer ad at the end. But I think that the Super Bowl commercials are sort of the Super Bowl of getting that right, as it were.
Yeah.
They do a really, really good job. It's a weird thing in itself that there are people who don't necessarily watch football, but look forward to the Super Bowl
commercials. But it's the only, I can't think of any other examples, that is the only time of the year where people are excited to watch commercials. Like, it's its own event.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder what the Super Bowl commercial is going to be like. Name one other time during the year, like, can't wait for that commercial. That's going to be great.
But that's just the one of the interesting things about it. It's a strange, and there are a ton of people who will willingly, happily tell you how much they hate football, even though they don't watch.
Mm-hmm.
So actually means they're indifferent to football. There are some people who hate it, for sure. But that is somehow divorced from the idea that they can't, that they can enjoy the Super Bowl commercials. So what's interesting to me is there's a lot of big one-time-a-year types of television events. There's the Oscars, but doesn't happen in the Oscars. There's the World Series. But that's I know that's several games, but doesn't happen in the World Series. It's kind of an interesting thing. It's this one time of year, and we are very happy to be pitched to. I wonder how many people like who watch the Super Bowl in different countries or don't speak English, how many of them, what they get. Do they get Super Bowl ads?
I'm sure they get their own regional. It's just as valuable to go to those. It's other than probably the World Cup final, maybe the semifinals. I may have to look into this, but it is the most watched thing in the world outside of one or two other things. So they get their own Super Bowl ads, I'm sure, in their own language.
Right. Yeah, maybe. But then you can, you know, no matter what, you can go Google or go to YouTube and look up Super Bowl commercials. In fact, there's a Super Bowl every year. There's a its own domain, Super Bowl commercials 2016.org is this year.
So. Okay.
And so anyway,
we had, I am looking right at it now, Doritos dogs commercial.
Yeah.
The dogs
so do you have
crash
anything
the Super
to say,
Bowl.
Lauren, sir?
Lauren, next Bud Light's on me. Yeah, I'm gonna have to make good on that. Now the one commercial I thought was preposterous and completely tone deaf to what you expect out of the Super Bowl was the Liam Neeson's.
The Liam Neeson's dough.
The Liam Neeson's dough. Yeah, that was weird. He's the LG man from the future, and it was so serious, but there wasn't a payoff on the seriousness like the Anthony Hopkins or the Christopher Walken. It just like I got to the end, I'm like, really? They're just advertising a TV? That's it? I was waiting for something more. Mm. Did you have any thoughts on that?
I didn't. I do. The only other thought I had, which we talked a little bit about earlier this week, was I find it fascinating also that so many power hitters. We just talked about a whole bunch, right? There's Liam Neeson. There's Willem Dafoe. Mm-hmm. There's Anthony Hopkins. There's Christopher Walken. And we didn't even mention Buzz Aldrin.
That's right, Buzz Aldrin.
Know? That's how big this event is.
I did not like the Buzz Aldrin commercial. I did not like you're going to show Buzz Aldrin, and he's like Alzheimer's out in a chair. Like, this is not, I don't know. That one was...
Not for you.
That was not particularly for me. There was a lot of great comedy in it. I dug it. The Moving On Up commercial, that with Jeff Goldblum, that was great, especially when they got to part about Lil Wayne. I was like, is that George and Wheezy? I was like, Lil Wayne. It cracked me up quite a bit. And actual George Washington, complete with big fake teeth. It was spectacular.
So, do you have anything else to say?
I do not. Looks like there's a few that I missed here when I went and walked the dog. I'm going to have to watch the Axe body spray commercial. Yeah. I don't even know what that's about. But I would like to thank everybody for commenting on this, watching it with us. I hope everybody enjoyed the Super Bowl. Have we talked about our thoughts of the Super Bowl?
No, we don't really need to talk too much about, I think, the whole Super Bowl, because either people watched it or they didn't. It's a week later. But I will mention, I find it kind of interesting, based on the tail end of our conversation from last week when we were talking about Cam Newton and talking about our Super Bowl picks. Mm-hmm. Cam walked out of the
press conference. Yep.
And I was gratified to see that there were people who were like, okay. But when he went up and congratulated Peyton Manning, that's on camera, on field, he had a mile wide smile. Like,
oh, was it? I missed that. Yeah.
And so it's interesting because it's this polarizing thing. I, who like Cam Newton and who like his showmanship, also liked that he was genuinely still thrilled to be on that field on that day, even as the second place team. Mm-hmm. And I have no doubt that he'll be back.
Oh, I think it's pretty sure. Yeah. But you never know. That's a big thing.
Of course you never know. But he's still going to fight, and he's still going to have fun during that fight. It's obviously the thing he loves. It's the thing he does. And he's a showman, but he's a huge, powerful athlete as well. And I'm okay with that. However, if you don't like Cam Newton...
There was a smorgasbord of reactions. And a lot of people made the comment like, he doesn't need to act like that. He's going to be back. You don't know he's going to be back. Think of all the talent in the NFL that's either not reached a Super Bowl or lost a Super Bowl and never come back ever mm-hmm. again, or won one and never come back. And he's 25 years old, but working his whole life to get to that point. And they were close. They were in that game and they mm-hmm. just needed one big play. And he's a big play guy and they couldn't make it happen. So of course he's crushed. But he's 25 years old. He's got 5, 6, 7 solid years coming. I'm hoping he'll get another one.
And I certainly hope he'll get another one as well. I also think that there's right before the season started this past year, somebody was in a car on the Dallas Cowboys in a car that I think the driver was driving under the influence, and it was a one car accident, but it put him out of the season. Like something like that could happen. Yep. There's no fault of your own.
Well, Cam's been in a car accident, hurt his back, and yeah. people thought he was done. So yeah. yeah, it's
so that those things also could happen that would take away his opportunity to come back. But me myself, I understand, especially because you tweeted during the Super Bowl, and I think it was true. This may have been the most Galaxy Bowl Super Bowl ever. Mm-hmm. Don Pine, all pro Don Pine, Quentin Barnes, Galaxy Bowl.
It was exactly like, it broke down almost exactly like the yeah. books, which was a lot of people commented on that on Twitter. And that was very satisfying is right, but also very fun. It's like, isn't this weird? The super old guard against the giant, young, incredibly talented quarterback, and see how that turns out.
Right.
But I can't give any spoilers, so I can't say what happens in my books.
Right.
That's not how it goes.
So I have only one more thought.
Yes.
Puppy Monkey Baby.
No, well, yes, I'm going to make $1 million from that, and I'm not going to share any of it with whatever Mountain Dew. See, I almost forgot what the hell they're
going to share any of it with Lauren.
Well, I got to buy Lauren a couple of Budweisers, Bud Lights, because me, her, and Helen Mirren were going to go out. We're going to knock them back.
What about Peyton? Peyton really wanted a Budweiser.
Right. I'm going to drink a lot of Budweiser. I was like, get all that money you can, son, because that gravy train's just about over.
But did you see any of the following days? Like that day, Budweiser tweeted like, we were just as surprised as you were. He didn't get any endorsement for that. That's not an endorsement.
I don't believe it. Well, I don't believe it. Well, there's no way.
But then that's a disclosure thing, right? So we would know, right? So I think it's true. So I read I think it was on Medium or maybe it was on Salon or something, but it was okay. Interesting because I saw that and I sort of thought, yeah, he had to have some kind of endorsement. But then that's a disclosable thing. Like we'll know if Budweiser came after the Super Bowl.
How would we know that? Through his tax return or something?
Through theirs, I think. So that endorsement deal, I'm sure they're not just paying him $1 zillion in the chance that he won the Super Bowl and that's all he's going to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they did that, and I thought, he totally is getting paid. And then they tweeted, like, no, we were just as surprised
awesome.
As you are.
That's even better. Yes.
But then I read this great article saying, like, right, but he also owns... lots of Anheuser-Busch.
Ah-ha-ha.
Right?
Ah-ha.
But you know what? Huh. I pimp your books all the time.
Yeah.
And I do that because I like them, but also because that is my whole life depends on, everybody's whole life depends on the income they make and the career that they build, right?
Mm-hmm.
So while it's not a paid endorsement per se, he's not dumb.
Nope. Well, nobody's ever accused him of being dumb, except when he first came into the league. When he first came into the league, people were making fun of him because he'd been coddled his whole life. And of course, all he did was play football. I'm sure he studied too at the University of Tennessee. But when he first got to the Colts, this is a funny story about Peyton. According to Sports Illustrated, which he has validated, when he first came to the Colts, he had never ordered delivery food for himself in his entire life. So 20 or 21, he had never ordered food for himself. Had to call his girlfriend back in Indianapolis and say, or his girlfriend back in Tennessee at college and say, can you order food for me? Because it's just, he never had any experience with it.
Yeah.
So he's definitely not dumb, but that is not exactly.
Yeah, dumb and inexperienced.
Dumb and inexperienced. Two very different things. Okay. Well, we have our winner. Thank you, Peter Kleins, for piping in with your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get those books shipped out.
Yeah, we'll be back soon enough. Come back on Sunday. We have a Q&A for The Reporter, which just finished. And then a week from Sunday, we'll start Hunter Hunterson and Sons, The Case of the Haunted Safeway.
Yes, very excited about that. That's the first time Hunter Hunterson has graced the podcast. No, he's been
no,
in
no, no, no. He's but this story, which was a work for hire
oh, right.
For Charlene Harris,
yep.
Now is is you've recorded it, and we're gonna put it in the podcast feed. So this one's never been in the feed before.
Very excited about it. Very excited to bring that to you guys.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, and we'll talk to you all
real soon.
You have been listening to the Friday Fix. Content in this broadcast is copyright of Empty Set Entertainment. For more information on author Scott Sigler and for free weekly audio fiction, visit scottsigler.com. Theme music is the song City of Angels by The Distillers off the album Sing Sing Death House.